Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8. Love that song. Where will we be without Jesus? Romans chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 31. Been on this, by the way, I'm very thankful for our pastor that allows me to preach. And this has been one of the longest series I've been able to do, and I appreciate it. And it's a total of 8 weeks, so y'all had to put up with me for a while. I got one more week. And but I appreciate that. And tonight we're going to be talking about persuading faith. And we'll see that here in our text. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 31. The Bible says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We could just stop right there and say hallelujah that, right? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? And in other words, what are you worried about? Amen. What are you depressed about? You know, and if God be for us, who can be against us? I think most of the time the person who is against us is us. And so we have to be careful with that. We'll talk about that. Verse 32 says, "He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again." In other words, he's got all power. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. By the way, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he's making intercession for us. Hallelujah. We should be all right. And we should be positive that he's there, right? "Well, who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Verse 35, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Remember who's writing this. Paul, on his third missionary journey, is writing this. And he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long." That refers back to Psalm 44. And by the way, there was a lot of Christians killed every day. But we suffer persecution every day. They especially did. "We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And verse 38, I love it. He says, "For I am persuaded." I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray, and then we'll talk about persuading faith. Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this night that you've given us to gather around your word. And Lord, tonight I pray that, Lord, I would be absent, but you'd be present. And so, Father, I give my life and my body to you right now to be used to honor and glorify you. Lord, speak through me. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty here. Pray that he would speak to the hearts and make clear the word that we're going to be preaching. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, for those that are here, Lord, that just need a word from you. God, would you speak it to them tonight? Lord, I pray that you would help us to be persuaded, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, as we hear your word, and Lord, have a persuading faith in our life. Lord, we love you tonight and ask that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Persuaded means, in the Greek, if you look it up, it means to trust, to have confidence, to be confident, or basically to have faith. And Paul said, "I am persuaded." By the way, he didn't say it just here. He said it in a few other passages we're going to look at. But many Christians don't live a persuaded life. Why would one choose to live without faith in what God could do? Why would we choose to live that life that is not persuaded that he is able? He is able. We sing that song all the time. He is able. He is able. I know God is able to carry me through. So let me give you three things tonight. I know that's shocking that I would give y'all three things that are going to be alliterated, but it just happens. But being persuaded has to do with three things. And I really think we see that through this scripture, through some other sub-scriptures we're going to look at tonight. But number one, I want you to, being persuaded has to do, number one, with relying on God's promises. with relying on God's promises. As we see even here in our scripture that the promises of God are found in the book of Romans. As a matter of fact, turn back to chapter 4, I believe it is. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if," now this is talking about justification, okay? And it says, verse 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, and where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace." Aren't you grateful for grace? And so he says that, it goes on down, look, skip down to verse 18. He says, "Who against hope believed hope that it might become the father of many nations," talking about Abraham, "become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." And verse 19, notice what it says, and being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being what? Notice it just said that he was strong in the faith, and we've read this verse before talking about Abraham and Sarah, but that he was strong in the faith. But in verse 21 we see, "and being fully persuaded that he," or "what he had promised, he was able to perform." So in other words, when God came to Abraham when he was 100, Sarah was 90, and God said, "You're going to have a child." And they staggered not at that promise, that because God had promised in the beginning of Abraham's life that he was going to make him a father of many nations, that he was going to bless him, and that seed had not come yet. Now they're 190, and God says, "Now's the time you're going to have a child." And I love what the Bible says, that Abraham didn't stagger at it. You ever stagger at news? Almost knock you to your knees, right? You go to take your car in and they say, "Well, it ain't just this, it's this." And you go, like Fred Sanford, "Elizabeth, this is the big one," right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I love the younger people that go, "Fred Sanford, who was that?" Sanford and Son, man, that's a good show back in the day, I guess it was. And but you think about staggering at that promise. The Bible says that he staggered not the promise of God. Why? Because God had spoken it to Abraham. And I love what the Bible says, "and being fully persuaded," not in himself, not in Sarah, but he was persuaded that he, which promised, is able to do it. In other words, able to perform it, able to cause it to come about. And so when you talk about being persuaded, it is relying on the promises of God. The Bible's full of promises. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said he's gone to prepare a place for us. He said that once you're saved, you're always saved. We put our faith in that, and I'm persuaded. Why? Because I'm not persuaded because of me. I'm persuaded because of him. And if God promised it, I can rely on that promise. In other words, here's what we can do. Think about this. Think about Psalm 23 for just a second. That he causes us to lie down in green pastures, right? Sheep don't lay down unless they feel comfortable or they feel secure. See, God puts us in a place in our life that we rest in His promises. We rest in His presence. See, when you're fully persuaded that God can do things, you know what you do? You know what keeps me up at night? Worry. Hello? Don't look at me like you don't worry. "Well, I don't worry." "Well, you must not be married or something. I don't know." Or you're still living at home with mom and daddy. But, I mean, we all go through those phases in our life where, listen, the times in our life that we're going through the worst event of our life is the time when we lose sleep. Right? But God, but Abraham, in this time that God had given him a promise and said, Abraham, I am going to give you a seed. Abraham said, yes, sir. And went on. Why? Because he relied on God's promises. He rested in God's promises. And when you're fully persuaded, that's what happens. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, I don't, every night of my life, I don't go, oh, I hope I'm saved. I can't tell you the last time I sat around and go, I wonder if I'm saved. You know why? Because I'm not resting in what I've done, I'm resting in what he did. Hebrews 11:11. Talking about this very same scripture, says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, Sarah said, okay, I don't think Abraham can do this, but I know God can. She was not putting her faith in her husband. She was putting her faith in the God who could. So we rely on God's promises. Number two, this one kind of struck me whenever I was studying this, but being persuaded has to do with relying on God's promises and resting in God's promises, whichever you want to say. But number two, it's about remembering the past. You say, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to leave the past in the past. The bad things, yeah. But you ought to remember what God has done. You see that in our scripture, Paul said, and I meant to read this a while ago, but he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Why did Paul know that he was not going to be separated from the love of Christ? Because God had made a promise that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're saved for eternity. But also in the same scripture, he talks about, he says, we're killed all the day long. He says in verse 37, nay, all this, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's secure in that promise that God gave him. But notice in verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, heights, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what Paul's saying. Look, I've been through a lot. Matter of fact, let me prove it to you. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul lists all the things that happened to him. Paul's, and I want to show you hopefully some things here tonight through this, is remember that about 57, that's when the book of 2 Corinthians was written. And kind of in the same, toward the same year, the end of that year, the next year, they believe, the book of Romans was written. So the book of 2 Corinthians was written first, and then the book of Romans was written after that. So in the last part of the third missionary journey that Paul takes, he writes 2 Corinthians first, and then right after that, he writes the book of Romans. So if we go back and we look at 2 Corinthians, we know that when he lists all these things, that when we read in Romans, they had already happened. Make sense? So look at what happened. Notice what's going to happen here. In verse 23, he says, and they minister of Christ, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He says, I am more in labors and more abundant, and in stripes above measure and presence, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know, just save that one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils and waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, perils among false brethren. If you was reading this biography, you go, this guy had a rough life. He says, in weariness, and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger, and thirst, and fasting often, and cold, and nakedness. Besides those things, I like what he says. He says, besides those things, without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I went through all these things. All these things that Paul had went through. But when Paul went through all of those things, he suffered for Christ's sake, by the way. This was not what Paul had brought upon himself. But the Bible says, happy are you if you suffer for Christ's sake. So Paul had suffered for Christ's sake. But one thing that I believe that we see through the scripture that he had learned, that God was faithful. And that all throughout this time when Paul was beaten, when Paul was in prison, I like how Paul says, and in death, he said, I was at the point of death, and we believe that probably he was at death one time and came back. We don't know, but we know that he was stoned. We know that he went through all these things. But during those times, during those dark days of his life, is where he found God faithful. And where he found himself being fully persuaded that God could do what he said he'd do. That he would carry us through this world. That he would never leave us nor forsake us. That he would take us through those shadows of the valley of death. That he would take us through those rough times in our life. He would take us through those times when the world is against us. That he would take us through those times when the president is not the one we should have. Right? When the laws are not favorable to us, guess what? God will just walk us right through it. See, sometimes remembering the past helps us to be persuaded in what he can do. Listen, there's people all over this auditorium tonight that could stand up and say, this is where I was and this is what God did in my life. And I'm not just talking about people who have come through sicknesses and cancers and all those things. I'm talking about people who were lost and in sin, but God saved them. I'm talking about Christians who were saved and backslid and went back and entangled themselves into this world again. But God was still faithful in their life and forgave their sin and set their feet back on that solid rock again and used their life again. You know what? When I look back at my life and I think about when I got saved, from the time I got saved to the time I turned 18, I had backslidden on the Lord in about a 2-year span specifically. I got saved, got on fire for God, some things happened, and boy, I backslid. And it's amazing how God still called me to preach. See, I look back on those days, and it persuades me today because of what He did back then. Some of you have gone through things in your life you wouldn't want to stand up and tell us about tonight, but you would say this, that God has been faithful. Listen, you step in faith long enough, and you see what God's doing, and when you look back and you see those steps of faith that God has been with you and that God has walked with you and that God has comforted you during those times, listen, what it does, it persuades you for that next step you take. You see, if we were not persuaded that He is able, we might as well go home tonight. If we were not persuaded that there was a heaven, let's go home tonight. But I'm persuaded there's a heaven. I'm persuaded that God's going to be with me tomorrow. Why? Because He was with me today. He was with me whenever I was right with Him. And He was with me when I was not right with Him. So tomorrow I want to serve Him greater. Tomorrow I want to be more persuaded than I've ever been. Why? Because of what He did today. And because of what He did yesterday. Listen, we can look back on our life and we can ask the question, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Or we can just say, you know what? He's been with me. We may not understand the whys today, but we can know the who. The Lord has been faithful. And Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, none of that's going to separate me from the love of God. Why? Because I've looked in the past. And I saw what God did. And I see what God's doing today. You ever heard this statement about friends, good friends? And I have good friends and thankful for good friends. And I was thinking of this statement. You know, when somebody said that here in the church not too long ago. They had brought somebody to church with them. And they said, boy, we go way back. You ever said that about some friends? You know, somebody that you've been friends with 30 years, whatever, you know, well, we go way back. And then maybe another statement that I've heard here recently is that, man, we've been through so much together. Isn't that amazing how that makes you friends? One of my greatest friends I had in high school was a boy I punched in class. He was messing with another girl in class, and I walked over there and boop. You know? After class, the principal came in. He said, did you hit him? And, of course, he had a big old goose egg on his head, and I said, yes, sir. Took us to the office, and me and his name was Josh, we became best friends. Ain't that amazing? We had some history together, right? And we ended up being good friends through high school. And in life, me and God's been through a lot together. And he has proven himself to be faithful. Amen. Now listen, I've not been faithful to him. But he sure has been faithful to me. There's been times in my life, my wife can tell you, I tell her all the time, you know, sometimes you just want to walk off. And you say, do you do that? I ain't going to lie to you, sure. There's those days when you just go, I think I'm just going to keep on walking. You know, that was Forrest Gump for some of y'all that's not from South. You know, and then I just got tired. I just stopped, you know. I'm going back. But you know what? It's amazing how we can say we're going to walk away from God. And God puts those roadblocks in front of us, gives us grace, woos us back to him again. Boy, isn't he a good God? I'm telling you, I quit so many times and God has been so faithful to me. When if it was the other way around, if somebody was like that to me, I'd just say, well, go on then, buddy. But aren't you glad God's not that way? Let me give you the last thing tonight and I'll be done. Persuading. What is it about being persuaded? Well, it has to do with, and the last thing is, resting in God's power. Is resting in God's power. We see that in verses 31 through 37. I'm not going to read them again. But just resting in God's power. See, so many times we want to rest in our power, what we can do. We want to rest in what we can accomplish in life. And God allows us or tells us in His Word that we are to rest in His power. That it is not that the world is not going to separate us from the love of God. It's the power of God that's going to keep us. And we are to rest in His power. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, I'll read this. It says, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I am persuaded that he's going to keep that. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That we are kept by the power of God, that we should rest in His power, rest in His ability and not in ours. I am not persuaded what I can do, but I am persuaded in what He can do. As children of God, we should rest in His power. We should rest in His power until He comes and receives us unto Himself. Are you resting tonight? Are you resting in His power? I just wrote some things down. Probably all of us deal with stress. Doubt. I wrote this one down because we can be creative sometimes in our life. And how to know that if you're resting in God or not is whether you're planning plan B. You see, if you're resting in God, you don't have a plan B. You don't need one. You're just resting in Him. But I believe too many people spend too much time planning plan B. Okay, well, if God doesn't do this, now here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to do, no, just rest in Him. Listen, we don't need a plan B with God. Because God already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We just rest in His power. Is there restlessness in your life? Is there even depression in your life? Let me remind you, just rest in Him. Rest in His power. Rest in the power of God. Why? Because Paul did. Paul said, I rest in that power. I have faith in God. In other words, he is persuaded that God can and that God will and that God is. Let's stand tonight. His bowed eyes closed. I'll pray. And Pastor, come and do the invitation. Father, we love you and we thank you for the night. And Lord, I pray that we would search our hearts and ask ourselves tonight, do we have that persuading faith? God, are we persuaded in what you can do? Lord, I pray there's some folks here tonight that are just resting in your power, resting in your care tonight. Lord, I love you tonight. I ask that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.